This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Joy 94.9. My next guest is a singer, pianist and composer. Since her 2011 debut album, Don't Tempt Me, she has performed at various jazz festivals all over the country, toured Europe and the US, has won various awards and even toured with superstar Michael Bublé. Welcome to Joy, Sarah McKenzie.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am really well, enjoying this lovely Melbourne weather. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's so good. Trust me. I mean, Boston will probably be -4 degrees when I get back.
Because let's just fast forward a bit, because you mentioned Boston then. Just tell us why you now live in Boston.
2 years ago, I took myself to Italy to a Berklee College of Music clinic in Perugia, in Umbria. And I was very fortunate to win a full scholarship to Berklee College of Music there. And so that is why I'm now in Boston.
Wow. And how are you enjoying Boston? Is it a good city to sort of write and collaborate? And
yeah, absolutely. It's incredible. And I mean, the college there is just like a musical fairyland is the best way to describe it.
Is it like being in like Fame, that movie?
Absolutely. Actually, I had a conversation with someone yesterday and I was describing the hallways and, you know, people are just jamming.
Because I still love that movie Fame, and what I loved about it was because there was different musical styles. There was, like, you know, musicians, and there was singers and dancers and actors, and it's such a good vibe. And you attended WAPA.
Yes, the Australian Academy of Performing Arts.
And you graduated with a Bachelor of Jazz. That must be an inspiring place, because the likes of Hugh Jackman have gone there, and Lisa McCune, an amazing hub for performers.
Oh, absolutely. And I had an absolute ball. I spent 3 years in Perth studying at WAPA, and I really got involved in all aspects of it. I did the jazz piano, and then I majored in jazz composition, but I was always in the playhouse watching the actors perform, or going to a dancing concert, or, you know, even we would have dinners round at a friend's house where one of my friends is an incredible cook. We'd have a little red wine. He would invite round some writers, some actors, some musicians, and we'd just talk, you know, till midnight. And it was just incredible, you know, incredibly creative and wonderful place to be.
So what made you decide, I'm going to do this for a living? I guess growing up in high school and as a child, what musical influences sort of influenced you and your sound and what you were into?
I had a piano teacher that showed me the blues, and I've got no idea why, but there's something in the blues that really resonates with me as well. And obviously, that's strange because I'm not exactly part of the history, but that was sort of a big reason also to go to America, to really get sort of deep into that culture so that I could understand the music better. Hearing him for the first time, hearing James Morrison play for the first time, that was just a revelation, because for so long I'd sort of been checking out jazz in my bedroom at 13 or whatnot, and thinking, this is crazy. I mean, you know, why do I like this music? And none of my friends like it. It's not like I had it in common with anything. It was my secret special thing. But when I heard James play, that was when I realized, you can do this, and there are people that do this and love this. It's still alive, you know, and I realized I wanted to be part of it.
And make a great living from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, James Morrison is one of this country's leading jazz musicians. And you mentioned when you were younger and just then, on your debut album, there's a song called Love Me or Leave Me, which you wrote when you were 16.
Yep.
What was the inspiration behind that one? Did you have a crazy old ex-boyfriend or something back then?
Actually, yes. Everything I write is true. Like, it's from from a perspective that did happen, you know?
Mm.
But it's through my rose-colored glasses, and I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm crazy. But yeah, no, I'm terrible, you know? I'm terribly romantic, and I feel deeply and a little silly. But yeah, that was a song and that was a story that kind of happened, you know?
That debut album, you were signed to ABC Music in 2010. Their debut came out in 2011, Don't Tempt Me. Now, you worked with the amazing Chong Lim on the album. And of course, he is the musical director of Dancing with the Stars. He's worked with Kylie Minogue, Tina Arena, Vanessa Amorosi. What did you learn from Chong? Because an amazing producer.
Yeah, no, Chong is my hero. He's my mentor. He's my friend. I still call him up and say, Chong, what do you think about this? Should I do this? Chong, I just heard this great piece of music. Check this out. We really connected on the first two albums and just had the most amazing time, you know, putting the first two albums together. And yeah, I can't wait to do another project with Chong because I do miss him, that's for sure.
My special guest this morning is jazz artist, musician and singer Sarah McKenzie. More Sarah next on Joy 94.9. Friday morning show with Leo, chatting with my special guest this morning, jazz singer, pianist and composer Sarah McKenzie. Now, we're chatting about your debut album before, and you have performed in various jazz festivals in Wangaratta, in Melbourne and the Stonington Jazz Festivals. Also, you did a show last night in Bennett's Lane, which is an amazing venue here in Melbourne. What's been your favourite festival thus far?
For this trip in Melbourne? For this trip in Australia? Or
all up.
All up.
Your favourite one.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the cream of the crop that's really sort of resonated with you, that's really sort of gone well and everything sort of, all the stars have aligned?
It has to be Umbria Jazz because I got my full scholarship to Berkeley there and also I got an invitation to play the Summer Festival and the Winter Festival. And it's Italy and it's romantic and wonderful and I just had an absolute ball there, and every time I go back, it's just wonderful.
Because Melbourne is just an amazing hub for music and for festivals. We've got some amazing festivals in the city, and it must be great coming back and coming back home and doing these festivals here.
Oh, of course. I love playing it like home, you know? It's just that it's home, so maybe you take it for granted. But honestly, Wangaratta Jazz Festival is just incredible. And actually, that was probably the highlight of this tour, playing there. This time. And also I've had the great honour of playing at the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. And,
yes.
We really know how to put on a good festival. And I can say that now, you know, because I've been to Umbria Jazz. I've played at the Monterey Jazz Festival, which is arguably the most prestigious festival in America. And, Australians are well up there with world-class jazz.
A few weeks ago, I had a chat with a lady who first discovered a young guy from Canada called Michael Bublé. This was way back in the 90s, and she was his first manager. And she was with him for quite a few years, and she's written a book about their time together. And Michael Bublé is now this superstar. And a few years ago, you sang backing vocals on his tour.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been an incredible opportunity for you.
Yeah, I still remember getting the call. I'd actually just come back from the James Morrison Scholarship. And I was in Perth, and they said, Sarah, we need someone to actually like be the musical director for the backing vocalists and also to sing for the shows. And I was like, wow, yes, please. Yeah, I'd love to do that. So, yeah, it was really fun. It's great to do something on such a large scale like that in a stadium. Michael was super cool. You know, he hung out with all of us, which I thought was really, really nice, actually. So, yeah, it was great.
He just seems really like a really nice guy.
I think he's just a really nice guy, and he loves what he does, you know? He just loves it. So,
and it comes through.
And it does come through. Yeah.
I'm going to the Arias in a couple of weeks in Sydney. And we did the whole red carpet thing. It's all quite fancy. Now, you won an Aria in 2012 for Best Jazz Album for the second album, Close Your Eyes. What an amazing honour that must have been.
Well, I actually wasn't there to receive the award.
What? Why not?
Because I had just moved to America.
So, oh, okay.
So Chong Lim received it on my behalf, but I saw a photo of him with the aria in his hand, sort of holding it up, and he had such a look of pride on his face. I was just, oh, my God, I wish I was there.
Now, so, be honest, do you use your aria as a doorstop?
No, it's actually It's actually like a weapon. It's so heavy and so pointy that if anyone comes into the house, you could use it. But actually, the weapon is sitting on top of my piano in my family's house. Yeah, they're looking after it for me.
Let's talk about the new album, We Could Be Lovers. Now, you co-wrote three tracks on the album. You've worked with a Grammy Award-winning producer. How does the new album differ from, I guess, the last couple of albums?
This one is different. Because I spent 2 years in America, I'm really absorbing the, you know, the social sort of aspects of life, and the seasons are much more pronounced. I think whenever you go to a different country, you're going to notice every single little difference, particularly if you're a little OCD like me and notice every single detail about everything. So, you know, stuff like snow, you know, and autumn, you know, the colours that happen in New England are just out of this world. You never saw such a bright red and bright yellow, and, you know, there are pumpkins on everyone's doorsteps and people are having apple cider and pumpkin pie, and all this stuff is really like influencing the music. Also, because I am naturally skewed towards the blues and to tradition, and I was writing about it anyway here in Australia, but I realized, you know, I would always come a cropper because I can't really say, you know, a lemonade in July to cool you down, because I don't relate to that. July is always cold here. So being in America, I could really, you know, I could really just experience life and write in that idiom, I suppose, because it's what's actually happening to me, as it would have happened to, you know, Ira Gershwin or Johnny Mercer or something. But also the producer, Brian Backus, he was feeding me all this incredible bootleg Nancy Wilson, Dinah Washington, incredible old arrangements I'd never heard of in my life. So it was a mixture of kind of listening to all the material he was giving me and just kind of letting it subconsciously absorb into my music, living life, and then it all just comes out naturally.
So yeah. Is there parts of the States which really embrace jazz more than others?
There is,
because it's a massive country, right? It's huge.
It's definitely huge. And I found out the meaning of the flyover states the other day. I said, well, what do you mean the flyover states? And they're like, well, there's, you know, there's the East Coast and there's the West Coast and there's everything in between. But I don't think that's fair. I'd love to visit all the states. I think it's probably more, you know, loved and celebrated in New York and Boston, Philadelphia, definitely all the way down the east, you know, to Louisiana and New Orleans, and definitely on the West Coast too. It's huge over there. But I don't know, maybe in Ohio or Montana or something, you may not get as many jazz lovers.
Now, you're going back to Boston tomorrow, and obviously, are you going to be there for Christmas? What's happening over the holiday season for you?
Oh, good question. I'm still trying to work out what I will do for Christmas. I will probably be in Boston, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm from New Zealand, so I'm going to Auckland for Christmas, actually. My mum's there.
You.
Yeah. So I sort of go back a few days beforehand, and, you know, I'll spend some time with the family, and I'll fly to Sydney and spend New Year's with my friends in Sydney. That's going to be great.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. No, I've been to New Zealand before. We played in Rotorua. That was amazing.
Yeah. It stinks, right?
I'd love to do some of the great hikes in New Zealand. That'd be amazing.
Now, the new album from Sarah McKenzie, We Could Be Lovers, is in stores and online now. Check out Sarah's website, sarahmckenziemusic.com, for all the information and upcoming tour dates as well. Now, thank you for joining me on the show this morning, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. Awesome.
That's okay. And have a safe trip back. And make sure you come in and see us again and enjoy next time you're in Melbourne.
Indeed.
Thanks, Sarah.
All the best.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.